We're going to move to item six, Vining Marine Group LLC.
Mr. Commissioner, before Justine starts with the presentation, I just wanted to reintroduce her to you. Justine Woodward moved over from our fisheries division a few months back. This will be her first presentation to the commission as a member of the Habitat staff. And part of the area she covers includes Norfolk, and so that's why she's covering this project today. So with that, I'll turn it over to her to explain the amount of material we have here before the commission today. This is quite an extensive record that the commission has in front of it. That's Justine to focus on those aspects of the record that she thinks most pertinent to the decision at hand. And so she'll go through that in a little bit of detail. And, of course, then we'll hear from the various sides involved in this. So thank you.
Welcome, Justine. Before you get into the record, Justine, I want to, for the benefit of the public, make you aware that this is a review on appeal of a decision by the Norfolk Wetlands Board. And as a result, the procedures that we use to hear these appeals is significantly different from other cases like the last one that was just before us. There is a procedure that is outlined in state law that we must follow, and an order that we will proceed in. And I'm going to go through that for your benefit, and then I'll call on counsel if you want to add anything to that, Mr. Kugelman.
Yes, sir.
Under the law, we'll first hear from the appellant, which is Vining's Marine Group. This is after Ms. Woodward gives us the history of the record on this issue. And then, following the appellant, the commission will ask if there's anyone speaking in support of the appellant, but only if the commission determines that such additional evidence is necessary to correct the record or such evidence is necessary as the ends of justice require. Those are words right out of the code. So we'll hear from the appellant. We may or may not hear from the public. That will take a motion by the commission to determine whether or not we will hear additional evidence. Following that, we'll hear from the appellee. And again, we'll ask if there's a need to correct the record or for additional public input as the ends of justice require. And again, that would have to be approved by the commission. And then finally, there'll be an opportunity for the appellant to rebut any points that he wishes to from the record. So with that, that's how we'll proceed. Do you want to add anything to that?
If I may.
Sure.
In reviewing the statute 28.2-1312, which is the procedure for reviewing these cases, I just want to additionally advise the commission that when it undertakes a vote for someone speaking in support of an appellant or an appellee, that if it elects to do so, it's going to be expanding the record for later court review. So I just want the commission, I appreciate the commission's penchant for allowing the public to speak, but here it will have meaningful consequences for the parties involved. And so I would just invite the commission to exercise its discretion judiciously, and I would be certainly happy to entertain any questions it would have along the way. Mr. Plumlee smiling at me, is there?
Mr. Plumlee?
I just need to make known that I have a conflict of interest due to the fact that the applicant is represented by our law firm, a different lawyer, a different matter, but I still have a conflict and cannot hear the matter, must recuse myself. And I'm not going to comment on us allowing the public to speak. I'll let you all handle that. I'm going to move to the next room. Thank you.
The record will show that Mr. Plumlee has recused himself. Any further questions at this point? Seeing none, Ms. Woodward.
Thank you, Commissioner Travelstead. The case before you is that of Vining's Marine Group LLC and East Beach LLC 07-1161. Commission review on appeal by the applicant of the April 11, 2012 decision by the Norfolk Wetlands Board to deny their request to modify an existing wetland permit to impact approximately 3,000 720 square feet of vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands, on-site mitigation of 2,450 square feet of vegetated wetlands as the result of the construction of the Harbor House at East Beach Apartments, superyacht facility, and associated facilities at their property situated along Fisherman's Cove in the city of Norfolk. Before I begin, I did want to point out that the copy of the January 11th transcript that you received prior to today, and that is included in your book, is a copy of the original transcript. There were some minor spelling errors that were noted, and so there is a revised January transcript that is available today as part of the record. And additionally, the slides that you're about to see represent a subset of those that were presented at both the January 11th and April 11th, 2012 hearings. These are the slides that, in our staff's opinion, are the most relevant to the issue at hand today. The subject property is located in the northeastern section of the city of Norfolk, in an area known as Fisherman's Cove, which is roughly in this area here. Fisherman's Cove is connected to the Chesapeake Bay by Little Creek Channel, and the subject property right in here. The project site is situated on two separate parcels of land. So the upland parcel is owned by East Beach LLC, Little Creek Partners Limited Partnership, which is an affiliate of Vinings Marine Group, owns the waterfront parcel in addition to the two adjacent marinas. The site includes a man-made slip, which was previously excavated from the uplands to accommodate the Seabell. The Seabell was an old ferry vessel that was brought to the site to serve as a waterfront restaurant. The Seabell sat abandoned at the site for many years, and it was eventually removed by Little Creek Marina Incorporated in exchange for portions of the upland property owned by the city of Norfolk. And Little Creek Marina Incorporated eventually became Little Creek Partners Limited Partnership. The next two slides are historical images that reflect the changing nature of the shoreline in this area through time. This is a slide, it's a little difficult to see, but it's dated 1937, or the photograph rather. The top photograph is from 1956, and the bottom one is from 1974. And staff to the Wetlands Board had drawn in these red lines here that extend from the Navy piers across to the opposite shoreline. And in the 1974 photograph, you can actually see the Seabell situated right here and located between the fourth and fifth red lines. In 2004, the Norfolk Wetlands Board authorized the filling of the Seabell slip as part of an application to expand an upland dry storage and boat repair facility that was originally submitted by Little Creek Marina Incorporated. Clearly, that expansion never occurred. A new proposal was submitted in 2007 by Vinings Marine Group. The upland property, including the filled slip, was proposed to be developed with a residential housing complex with a section on the first floor reserved for support facilities for the proposed superyacht pier. The proposal included the filling of the former slip with the installation of a riprap revetment channelward of that fill and the installation of a low-profile bulkhead further channelward to accommodate the creation of tidal wetlands. At their December 12, 2007 hearing, the Norfolk Wetlands Board voted 4-2 to approve the project as proposed. That decision was then appealed to the commission by numerous residents in opposition to the project. The commission voted unanimously to uphold the board's decision during their January 2008 meeting. and the permit was issued the following month. A permit extension request was granted by the Norfolk Wetlands Board in December of 2010, and so the current permit is valid until February 5th of 2014. This is just a copy of the permit and one of the drawings associated with the permit. This is a close-up of that drawing. Again, this is currently authorized by the existing permit. You can see in the yellow shaded areas indicate the structures associated with the project, including the building as well as the super yacht pier. The green highlighted area indicates the created tidal wetlands area, and the pink shading indicates the water dependent facilities in support of the super yacht facility. And these water dependent facilities were identified by the applicant, and the approximate outline of the seabell slip is right in here. In August of last year, the applicant submitted revised drawings as part of a modification request. The modified drawings show the revised locations of the support facilities that are proposed to service Superyacht Pier within the first floor of the building's footprint. The modifications were apparently necessitated by the required widening of an access road to serve as a fire lane. So this is one of the drawings that was submitted as part of the modification request. The close-up of that drawing, again, the location of the seabell site is approximately in here. And you can see that the areas that are shaded in gray with the black hash marks indicate the water-dependent facilities associated with the superyacht pier. And again, the applicant has identified those water-dependent facilities. And the orange line here indicates the existing boundary between the upland parcel owned by East Beach LLC and the waterfront parcel. The overall design changes contained no additional direct impact to tidal wetlands than what was previously authorized by the existing wetland permit. The applicant was required to request the permit modification at a public hearing due to the proposed change in use of the wetlands area that was permitted to be filled. And so what I did for this slide is I actually placed the two drawings on the same slide so that you could see them side by side. Again, this is what is currently authorized by the wetlands permit on the left, and the drawing on the right, it was submitted as part of the modification request. And again, the locations of those water-dependent facilities, as identified by the applicant, are shown in pink here and are shown in gray with black hash marks in this drawing. The next few slides are just a couple of ground shots of the area. These ground shots were taken last December. This is looking at the seabell slip outward towards Fisherman's Cove. And this is standing at the mouth of the slip looking inward towards the former slip. This photograph was taken, I believe, at that same location and shows a nice population of oysters growing right there in the intertidal area. This photograph actually shows the western perimeter of the shoreline. This is another drawing associated with the what is currently authorized by the existing wetland permit. And what I want to point out here is the board's jurisdiction, which begins at mean low water. It's a little bit difficult to see, but there's a light turquoise line here that indicates mean low water. And the upper limits of the board's jurisdiction are indicated in red. So the board's jurisdiction essentially runs the perimeter of the split. This is one of the drawings that was submitted to the Norfolk Planning Commission for their approval. Again, this is the approximate location of the C-Bell slip in here, which is all proposed and currently authorized to be filled. This is the parking. This is a pool. This is the rear profile view of the residential complex, multi-level complex. This area in here is where the C-Bell slip would be. This would be what would be filled. And one thing to note is that the super yacht pier is not shown on these drawings. This is another drawing that more clearly shows the board's jurisdiction with respect to the current modification request. So mean low water is indicated by the pink line here, and the upper limits of the board's jurisdiction are indicated by the green line. Again, the board's jurisdiction, this area in here. And the applicant did highlight what they thought were the water-dependent facilities in yellow, which includes a portion of the boardwalk here, the fire lane here, and a portion of the crew lounge, which is to be located in this general area.
Excuse me, exactly where would the super yachts be?
The super yacht pier would be extending roughly out from here.
Okay.
In this general area.
And they would be perpendicular to the shoreline, like this?
Yes.
Mr. Palmer, would there be any other boats docked at that pier on the inside?
At the super yacht pier?
Yes, on the inside where the super yachts can't go.
The super yacht pier is currently authorized for the temporary mooring of super yacht vessels.
Only?
Yes. I can read the specific details of the subaqueous permit if you would.
That's okay. There's no intention of putting finger docks in there or anything like that.
No. No, it is a single, it is a single straight pier, floating pier.
I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm. So the board initially considered the request at their January 11th hearing. The board received a briefing from their staff, and they received supporting testimony from Mr. Gaddams of East Beach LLC and Mr. King, who was the attorney for Vinings Marine Group. Mr. Ethan provided arguments in opposition to the request on behalf of his client, the East Beach Homeowners Association. Several members of the general public also spoke in opposition to the request for modification. In addition to providing an overview of the history of the site, staff to the Wetlands Board evaluated the water dependency of the current proposal with respect to the existing permit, and the results of that are before you. So in order to calculate a percentage of water dependency, city staff divided the area of the water dependent support facilities by the total area within the board's jurisdiction, which is 3,720 square feet. So the different columns here represent the square footage of the water-dependent facilities in support of the super yacht pier. The top row represents what is currently approved in the existing wetlands permit, and the second row is what is currently being proposed. The staff indicated that the current proposal would reduce the water dependency aspect from 45%, which is currently authorized, you can see that here, to 20%. And this value, 20%, does include the super yacht crew lounge, but it does not include the fire lane as a water dependent structure. To illustrate this a little bit further,
The fire lane, that was requested by the fire department for access to land or access to the super yacht dock or both?
At the January 11th hearing, I'll answer your question.
I'm getting ahead.
So some of the shading on this drawing was done by city staff, and you can see that the areas in gray, here's the portion of the boardwalk right here that were considered water dependent, and a portion of the access road was considered water dependent, but the areas where where you see yellow hash marks, the water dependency was questionable, and the areas shaded in yellow were not considered water dependent. So following the staff briefing, Mr. Gaddams of East Beach LLC entered into the record a statement that was signed by the Norfolk Fire Inspector acknowledging that the emergency access road that were shown on the plan was designed in response to his request to allow for emergency access to the super yacht facility. Ultimately, at this hearing, the January 11th hearing, the board determined that the application was incomplete at this time. The board then considered the modification request at a public hearing on April 11th. The board considered its staff briefings and the testimonies and exhibits provided by Mr. Gaddams, Mr. Anzo of Vinings Marine Group, Senator Northam, and that of several speakers in opposition, including Mr. Easton, who spoke on behalf of the East Beach Homeowners Association. At the request of the board, Mr. Gaddams listed several anticipated public benefits, including the public boardwalk, generated tax revenue for the city of Norfolk, and the accommodation of super yachts. He stated that the site was a prime location for the super yacht facility and that efforts were made to minimize impacts to the wetlands as much as possible. He stated that the approved project was considered 45% water dependent, and as a result of the changes made to widen the fire lane, the water dependency increased to 60%. Mr. Gaddams stated that proposed location for the pier would not require dredging to accommodate super yachts. And this was further supported by Mr. Anzo of Vinings Marine Group, who also stated that dredging would not be necessary. The protestant central argument was that the proposal had not avoided the existing tidal wetland resource. Mr. Eason argued that alternate siting was not adequately addressed. He further contended that the proposal did not meet the legal standard of constituting a water-dependent activity, and accordingly, the board was mandated to deny the request in its current form. Additional concerns that were cited by others who spoke in opposition to the project included the future maintenance of the created wetlands, a lack of public benefit, the high density aspect associated with the residential complex, and the associated negative impacts on the surrounding community and its inconsistencies with the broader vision of development within East Beach. Senator Northam, who spoke neither in support nor against the proposal, referenced the sea level rise study that will be conducted by VIMS in pursuit of a collaborative effort to understand the best way for the city to utilize its shoreline in light of sea level rise. Furthermore, he stated that more information will be available once the study is completed in time for the 2013 session. Senator Northam asked the board to carefully consider the application. At the close of the public hearing, special conditions drafted by staff in anticipation of an approval, as is customary with any application, were read directly into the record and were agreed to by the applicant. A motion was then made and seconded to deny the permit modification request on the grounds that it did not satisfy all three criteria outlined in the wetlands mitigation compensation policy. The motion passed with a vote of 4-1. Staff received a letter of appeal on April 12th, 2012 from Mr. John Daniel II on behalf of his client, East Beach LLC and Vinings Marine Group LLC. That appeal letter was considered timely under the provisions of Section 28.2-1311B of the Code. The Commission's Wetlands Mitigation Compensation Policy states that in order for a proposal to be authorized to destroy wetlands and compensate for the wetland loss in some prescribed manner, the following criteria must be met. All reasonable mitigative actions, including alternate siting, which would eliminate or minimize wetlands loss or disturbance, must be incorporated in the proposal. The proposal must clearly be water-dependent in nature. The proposal must demonstrate clearly its need to be in the wetlands and its overwhelming public and private benefits. While staff acknowledges that the board asked the applicant to specifically address the three criteria stated above and subsequently used this as a rationale for denial, staff is most concerned about the board's minimal discussion of the criteria, particularly with respect to the water-dependent aspect of the facilities in support of the superyacht pier. Specifically, the board members did not discuss the issue of water dependency with respect to the area occupied by the proposed emergency access. Nor did they address the fact that if the fire lane is considered water dependent, then the water dependency aspect of the proposed modification actually increases to 60% from what was previously permitted at 45% in 2008. After careful review of the record on this matter, it is staff's opinion that the board rendered a decision without giving full consideration to the water dependency aspect of the fire lane, nor did there appear to be any further evaluation of the fact that the filling of the wetlands fringe was associated with the reclamation of a previously excavated basin, as was highlighted in the commission review of the 2008 appeal. Additionally, the board's decision appeared unsubstantiated, primarily due to a lack of dialogue amongst the board members during the January 11th and April 11th hearings and for the motion at the last hearing. Accordingly, staff recommends that the commission remand the matter to the board with specific instructions to amplify the record regarding the rationale for a decision considering the necessity for a fire lane and the ecological significance of the wetlands along the fringe of the excavated basin in consideration of the standards for use and development of wetlands contained in Section 28.2-1308 of the Code of Virginia. However, if the Commission concludes that the evidence on the record considered as a whole is inconsistent with the Board's determination on the matter, especially the necessity for the fire lane and the nature of the fringe wetlands in the excavated basin, then the Commission may elect to overturn the April 11, 2012 decision of the Norfolk Wetlands Board and directs the board to approve the modification request to the existing wetlands permit and to include the proposed permit conditions considered during the board's hearing. Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Questions from Ms. Woodward? Mr. Schick?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I've got this clear in a nutshell. In 2008, we have an approval. It was appealed. It came to us. We upheld the Wetland Board's approval.
Correct.
Then the fire department requested a fire lane access to the super yacht facility, which the staff considers a water-dependent use. The Wetlands Board reheard the case and denied
The request.
The request for the modification of. Okay. So basically, it's the same permit. It's just that the.
It's the same. There are no additional impacts to tidal wetlands.
Right.
Basically, as a result of widening that access road or fire lane,
right,
the locations of the support facilities for the super yacht pier were rearranged within the first floor of the building footprint.
And that request was at the request of the City of Norfolk Fire Department.
And there, yes, at the at the January 11th hearing, the applicant provided a statement that was signed by the Norfolk City Fire
right.
Inspector.
Okay.
Any other questions?
With regard to the
Tiger.
I have a question. It seemed to me that the Planning Commission was somehow involved. I saw in the testimony in different parts of the January 11th and the April 11th. What happened there? The commission, there was testimony that said that the commissioners didn't realize that they were signing off on something with the super yacht facility. Is that what I saw there? Planning Commission Norfolk.
The planning? I would prefer to defer questions regarding the
okay.
Planning Commission to
right.
the City of Norfolk. What I can tell you was that the drawings that you saw that were part of the presentation were drawings that were submitted to the Planning Commission, and they did not show the super yacht pier on those drawings.
Follow-up question. So then, and then I also took it from reading the transcripts. There was a period of time where, so they got the approval from the Planning Commission, and then the, and then who went to the fire company or Norfolk fire chief? Did he insert himself, or was he asked to be inserted by applicant?
I would prefer for the applicant to
okay.
answer that directly.
All right. Thank you. You've done a great job,
Mr. Reed.
I take it that the applicant, if this wetlands board denial is upheld, could go forward with the previous application that was approved. Is that correct?
It is my understanding that they would not be able to because they have a different set of plans that were approved by the Planning Commission. Than the ones that are currently authorized by the existing wetlands permit. And again, perhaps the city is represented and they can elaborate a little bit more on the Planning Commission aspect of it.
Mr. Sessions? Okay, you state in the recommendation that the staff's opinion, the board rendered decision without giving full consideration to the water dependency aspect of the fire lane. And you said, but the letter from the fire chief, did you say that was specific regarding the super yacht facility for the super yacht facility?
Yes.
And that the wetland board did not take that in consideration, the North board?
There was very minimal discussion. The board posed several clarification questions to the applicant, but the board did not discuss amongst themselves whether or not they considered that fire lane to be water dependent. Does that answer your
question? And from our perspective, that's an important component.
Right, because there was a lack of evidence on the record.
Any other questions? All right, and well, thank you, Justine. Appreciate it. Congratulations on your first presentation. Is the appellant represented, Mr. Daniel? Now, you're speaking to the existing record.
I am, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. I always come here with a script that says good morning, and it never seems to work out. So how optimistic was I? Good afternoon. I'm John Daniel, for your record, and I am appearing on behalf of Vinings Marine and East Beach, LLC. Excuse me. I, too, want to we celebrated Mr. Travelstead's rise to commissioner. I think we ought to also celebrate Ms. Woodward's first appearance here. She has been great to work with. Her report is precise and concise, and I think has laid out pretty well for you the facts. I'm going to put a few little tighter stitches in it as we go along, and I'm glad to answer questions, obviously, that may arise. So, first of all, as you know, and as the commissioner has set forth, this is an appeal of the Norfolk Wetlands Board decision. It is not a subaqueous case. Subaqueous issues with regard to the superyacht facility were determined in a permit issued by this commission some time ago. This is purely and simply a wetland case. It's a wetland case about, as Ms. Woodward said, 3,720 square feet of wetland to be mitigated by 2,450 square feet, perfectly in accord with the wetland mitigation guidelines and regulation in that case. That 3,720 square feet of impact has reigned throughout the various versions of this project, whether you were talking about the 2004 project for the dry storage, the wetland impacts are the same, 3,720 square feet. Whether you were talking about the subsequent proposal after a rezoning of the property to accommodate the first proposal without the fire lane in 2008, 3,720 square feet of wetland. Whether you're talking about the commission hearing in January 22nd of 2008 for this commission, 3,720 square feet. Same wetlands, same impacts. That has not changed. So, here we are on this appeal. Five times these wetland impacts have been approved. Twice by the Norfolk Wetland Board, once by this commission, once by the Corps of Engineers, and once by the Department of Environmental Quality. With regard to the last modification that Ms. Woodward mentioned, the Corps of Engineers didn't even want to hear it again. They simply made an administrative modification, as did the Department of Environmental Quality. Norfolk Wetland Board chose to bring the applicant back. They went back, and the project was denied. So now here we are, six bite the apple, and something's changed. So we've got to try to figure out what that was and why it changed. So let me talk a little bit about the historical perspective of this site and give you a little bit more information about the history and what led to this project. So this is the it's in the record. This is the original Seabell site with the Seabell in full view. As you can see, at one time I think people thought it would be a flourishing restaurant, floating restaurant, or some other amenity of that nature. It didn't necessarily turn out that way. I think it ultimately burned, and it became a bit of an attractive nuisance, as you can see, for the hulks of other vessels that were no longer seaworthy. City of Norfolk decides that rather than this amenity, it's an eyesore, and this eyesore needs to go away. So the city of Norfolk makes a deal. And they go to the people who own the predecessor and interest to the Vinings in this property, Little Creek Marina, and they say, if you'll spend your money and take this Seabell slip out of here, we'll convey the property to you, including the submerged land. So, in order for the city of Norfolk to dispose of municipal property, it has to adopt an ordinance. The city adopted an ordinance in order to surplus or whatever they were going to do, what you want to call it, with this property. And that ordinance said on its face, quote, it's the judgment of the council that the property herein is not needed by the city for any of its municipal purposes, end quote. Now, while we might normally think of municipal purposes as being parking lots or fire service or schools or libraries or something, it's pretty clear that a municipal purpose, and it was at the time this ordinance was adopted, is for the improvement of water quality. So what's the relation? Why do we protect wetlands at all? We protect wetlands in order to improve water quality. So to say that this property had no municipal purpose, whether it was in the front of their discussions, in the back of their minds, or whether it even entered their mind, nonetheless, is a comment about the value of these wetlands with respect to the impairment of water quality. So with the ordinance adopted, the Little Creek Marina, predecessor in interest to Vinings, and the city enter a purchase and sale agreement. And that purchase and sale agreement was for the sale of that property in exchange, basically, for the expenditure of dollars in order to clean up the Seabell site. So let's look at the purchase and sale agreement. That agreement says, quote, the buyer shall proceed diligently to obtain all regulatory and all governmental approvals and permits which are necessary for the removal work and to fill any areas on the property. So the city, even back then, had contemplated that the Seabell slip was going to be filled. So those wetlands that had been man-induced and emerged as a result of the Seabell slip, I assume somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,720 square feet, once again, a determination by the city of Norfolk, that that area was to be filled. So in reliance on all of that, in 2004, the Little Creek Marina folks put forward the dry storage marina, which Ms. Woodward discussed with you, and which required a wetland permit, and those 3,720 square feet of impacts to wetlands were authorized at that time. So why didn't that project go forward? Well, here's why it didn't go forward. At the time, somebody at the city of Norfolk was determined deciding that there may be a higher and a better use for this property. And so there was a rezoning discussions going on, virtually 2 years of discussions between neighbors, between city officials and others, and they rezoned this property into something called the East Beach Harbor District. So there goes the dry storage, zoned out, having owned the property, higher, better use, go off, find yourself a development partner, and you come back with a modified project. That modified project was the superyacht facility and the apartment complex, which you've seen pictures of. So that's kind of where we were in 2008. While it was postponed at one time in 2008 at the Norfolk Wetland Board, it was ultimately heard. That board voted again. Impact the 3,720 square feet of wetland. Approval 4-2. At that time, a different group of neighbors than the group of neighbors that are, I think, here today, protested that decision by the Norfolk Wetland Board. And the Norfolk Wetland Board, that appeal came to you all, and you all affirmed, again, the issuance of that permit to impact those wetlands with, you can read your minutes from that meeting, with some strong comments with respect to the nature of those wetlands and that slip. So let's talk just for a minute about these wetlands that are creating all this fuss. Ever since the city and the Corps converted the upland area to the Seabell, the wetlands obviously began to emerge. Okay? And nothing has changed. No impacts to those wetlands have changed since the very first approval. Conversely, we have five approvals, five professional and or regulatory citizen boards, and the impacts are satisfactorily mitigated. So you turn to this commission's hearing in 2008, same subject, same wetlands, approve the Norfolk Wetland Board issuance of the permit. The city representative on January 22, 2008, standing at this podium and talking to this commission, advocating the defense of the Norfolk Wetlands Board's issuance of the permit to impact that same 3,720 square feet of wetland, stated that the nature and the character of the wetlands to be filled was, quote, not of primary ecological significance. This commission concurred. You made comments. You can read your own minutes with respect to the value of those wetlands, and you affirmed their decisions. So, fast forward, we are where we are today. So, what's happened in the interim? Well, what's happened in the interim is that the project has had numerous approvals. Every agency that's required to approve it at the City of Norfolk has approved it. Planning Commission has approved it. It's appropriately zoned, and it's ready to go. The thing that changed was, and which caused the last modification, was the fire inspector for the City of Norfolk during the Planning Commission debate raising his hand and saying, folks, if I'm going to be able to service this fire lane, service this super yacht facility. So obviously the super yacht facility was a subject of discussion at the Planning Commission. While it may not be on all the drawings, and I can't explain that, so maybe somebody that's with me can. I can't. But obviously it was discussed because the fire marshal was there to advocate on behalf of the city his need for a fire lane that was wide enough to accommodate his fire equipment. So the fire marshal then was successful with that, and the fire lane was built into the ultimate approval. Now, I want to give you, if I could, a copy of Mr. Wayne Wallace, the City of Norfolk Fire Inspector's correspondence, and it is to the applicant, probably at his request, as to what the reason for the fire lane was.
This is part of the record.
This is in the record. And, you know, it's a short letter, but sometimes the key is in the shortness. But, I mean, it says, the emergency access roads shown on the plans prepared by East Beach Vinings Marine are designed in response to my request on behalf of the City of Norfolk in my role to, I guess he means protect, but it's the public safety for emergency access to the super yacht facility. The balance of this property has fire service from the other side. There's marinas on both sides, as you could see from the pictures. The fire access for the apartment and for suppression in the event of, God forbid, fire at the apartment complex is, unrelated to this fire road that the fire marshal wants in order to service the super yacht facility. So let's look for a minute at a couple of things. Let's look first at the Norfolk Wetland Ordinance. I think it's, unless you all have the ordinance in your record, it's 28.2.1302 in your hard book. And section 49.3 of that ordinance, specifically 49-38, I think it's probably 8 in the statute too, because they've adopted the model ordinance. This is the section that lists uses and activities on wetlands which are permitted, quote unquote. Number 8, emergency measures declared by any duly appointed health officer of a governmental subdivision acting to protect the public health. Now, I'm not going to stand here and suggest that that's on all fours, as the lawyers say, with respect to its import in this matter. But I'm going to tell you, I believe, and I don't think it's arguable, that in the event of fire at that facility, people are going to suggest that their health is being impaired, and the people in those boats moored in those other two marinas and maybe have on them are going to suggest that they're having health issues by virtue as a result of that fire. I'm not going to begin to say that's the start and stop of your decision here today, but it is applicable. I mean, this clearly is not the local public health officer. The people that wrote the model ordinance, the people that wrote the Norfolk ordinance knew how to capitalize words. These are lowercase words, and these lowercase words mean it's not applicable to a single individual or a single office holder, but rather to individuals serving those roles on behalf of the City of Norfolk. So I want to turn now, if we can, to what really is sort of the guts of the issue.
Ms. Fox?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
Why isn't this on some letterhead of the City of Norfolk?
I don't know. It's what's in the record. I don't know. You got any idea?
Right.
I hope so.
Seems to be a little bizarre.
Well, if we can...
But...
I don't know what you might be suggesting.
I'm just... It looks a little strange. It would seem to me that the fire marshal would use city letterhead of some form to write a letter.
Okay. I guess I would agree that it's a little strange that he might not have used letterhead, but maybe he didn't. I don't know, maybe he didn't have any. I don't know. I mean, you know, I didn't write that.
No.
I mean, if that's the suggestion, I didn't write it. I don't think anybody I'm representing here today wrote it. It came from the fire marshal. It's signed by the fire marshal. Kind of is what it is, and weigh it in the bulk of things as you may. So let's look at let's get to the sort of the guts of the Norfolk Ordinance, and let's look at it's 4911 in their ordinance. That's the section in the Norfolk Ordinance, and I think it's your book 28213021B. I think I got that right. And that section says the board shall grant the permit if all of the following criteria are met. Shall grant. Criteria 1. The anticipated public and private benefit of the proposed activity exceeds its anticipated public and private detriment. So let's look at that criteria. You don't have to take my client's word for what public or private benefits. Let's look a little closer. In this case, we've got Norfolk City zoning approvals, Norfolk City Planning Commission approvals, land disturbing approvals, stormwater permits, health department approvals, Bay Act approvals, and not to mention twice permits issued by the Norfolk Wetland Board. Now, you can draw your own conclusion, but it seems highly doubtful to me that all of those entities acting on behalf of the public at large would put forward a project whose detriments outweighed its benefits. So if you're looking for objective determinations as to what's a public benefit versus detriments, you need only look at the determinations already made historically by the various and sundry city departments at the city of Norfolk. As an example, here's what the Norfolk Department of Planning and Community Development says about what it does. Quote, the department ensures the highest quality of life for present and future. It's in the record. The zoning approvals are in there. Future generations by providing excellent planning and enforcement services, emphasizing the development of safe, healthy, and fun communities where people choose to live, work, and play. And it goes on to talk about their determinations with respect to other things that they do. But in short, they weigh and they promote public benefits, and they weigh benefits versus detriments. So I think you can check that one off the list, if you would. Number two, criteria. It's got to conform with 28.2.1308 of your code, which is the admonition to the local governments to have model ordinances, and the guidelines promulgated pursuant to 28.2-1301. So let's look at the guidelines for 28.2-1301 somewhere. That's these guidelines. These are your guidelines. You also have wetland mitigation compensation, but it's a regulation. This statute refers to the guidelines. So you know your guidelines. So if you look at pages 5 and 6, as you know, the guidelines talk about value and functional wetlands, and then they go on to list all sorts of things that are important about various and sundry species. But in terms of determining value and function, the real guts of it is on pages 5 and 6. So if you look at the guidelines, there's nothing at all in this record that addresses the ecological significance of these specific wetlands at issue. There's no finding of ecological significance in any of the former approvals or determinations by any of the agencies. Not the Norfolk Wetland Board in its first two approvals, not the city spokesman at the first appeal to this commission, not this commission, and not the Corps of Engineers, nor DEQ. Not one finding of ecological significance. The wetland guidelines
don't appear to alter that analysis whatsoever. The functional values that are expressed or espoused in the guidelines, which are important to wetland ecosystems, are devoid in this case. If you've seen that site or seen now you've seen the pictures of it, and you've seen the pictures that Ms. Woodward had of the wetlands themselves, there is no waterfowl or wildlife utilization of that wetlands as habitat. There's no buffer in order to avoid erosion. There's no water quality control as a result of those wetlands. And there's no flood buffer. And there's certainly no aquifer recharge since we're at sea level. Completely devoid of the functional values that are in your in the guidelines that we're told to follow when we look at the criteria when the board shall grant a permit. So, and obviously, I mean, you don't have to necessarily take my word for that analysis. That's the best analysis I can provide to it, but there have been lots before me, lots of citizen boards, and this commission itself, which has made this determination before. So, I'll leave that again to you. Criteria 3 of that section, the local ordinance, that's the model ordinance. The model ordinance hadn't changed since the 2004 approval for the impacts of these same 3,720 square feet. It hadn't changed one iota. So it's somewhat curious that the wetlands that had no value and could be impacted on all these prior occasions all of a sudden must necessarily now be protected for some functional value that's at best questionable. So we've got that. Then you've got the mitigation, which has been provided, 2,560 square feet. And there was no questions raised at April 11th by the Norfolk Wetland Board with regard to those functional values or that policy or frankly, their own ordinance. So now we have to look, I think, at the regulation, which is your wetland mitigation compensation regulations. And that's your, I don't know how your book's set up, but it's 4 VAC 239040, and that enumerates the specific criteria which you need to check off boxes for if you're going to impact wetlands. Not that we need to check them off. They've been checked off 5 times at least before and more than that. But it's important to note that that section says if the proposal cannot meet one or more of those criteria, the activity shall be denied. So if you can't meet one of the three, you're out. That's the way I understand it. Unfortunately, this project meets not only one, but it meets all three. And I want to walk through them. The first criteria in that analysis is that some alternative analysis and siting has taken place. Now, you'll see in your record there was some discussion that there hadn't been any alternative siting for the super yacht facility. Truth is there was alternative siting done for the super yacht facility. The super yacht facility is where it is because the deal was made for that property in order to put it there. And the alternative analysis that was done was rather than go out the other side of the property, I guess that's the southwest corner, and impact that substantial functional wetland on that end, which along with the fringe wetlands along the front of the property is not 3,720 square feet, but 11,629 square feet of preserved wetlands with this project. So there was some alternative siting done. That would have required dredging if you'd gone to that southwest corner. You don't require dredging if you're where you are, and that's why it's where it is. Okay, number two in 20-390-40. This is the water dependency. And you're going to hear a lot about this, I suspect. But I'm going to urge your careful attention as you hear it. Because some are going to suggest to you that water dependency standard for subaqueous projects is applicable in a wetlands case. that the definitions of water dependency from the Chesapeake Bay Preservation Act are somehow applicable in a wetlands case. And alternative analysis for relocating the superyacht facility and other Sebaquis Bottom issues should control. Well, you've issued the permit for the Sebaquis Bottom impacts for the superyacht facility. But let's look at this question of water dependency just for a minute. Twice before, the Norfolk Wetland Board has determined this project was water dependent sufficiently enough in order to issue the permit. I throw the percentages around all you want. Grab 45, if that's the number that somebody wants to suggest, you know, is adequate for making a determination about water dependency. I don't know. Is 43 good enough? 41? I don't know. It's a subjective kind of a determination that has to be made. But we know, as a benchmark, 45 was good. In this case, anyway, twice by the Norfolk Wetlands Board, certainly good by this commission on appeal when you affirm the decision. So it's only now, in the light of some comments from Norfolk City leadership and the Virginia Pilot following the April 11th hearing, in this case, quote, that the zoning language did not spit out the Little Annapolis, end quote. It allowed lesser desired designs, end quote. The proposed development, talking about this project, doesn't have the character of the Little Annapolis plan, end quote. And it, in the face of that, the Norfolk Wetland Board reverses itself. The only change for the analysis of water dependency is that the percentage of water dependency increases as a result of the fire inspector's public safety request for expanded access to the superyacht facility in the event of fire. On letterhead or not on letterhead, I take that to be the words of the fire marshal, and he clearly says it's for the purpose of serving the superyacht facility. No doubt that the superyacht facility is water dependent, and there's certainly no question in my mind anyway that a facility to service that superyacht facility would run with that and be water part of the water dependency numeric qualification, if you will, in which case, you know, it goes to 60%. You know, I think it's at best hopeful to suggest that the required fire lane for purpose of the superyacht facility is not water dependent. That it's hopeful, but in my view, it's very contrary to common sense and frankly to the facts. Criteria 3, 239040. This is the public-private benefit discussion again. We've discussed it. I've given you a basis for it. Let me just read you one other iteration from the East Beach Harbor zoning. This was the rezoning that took place after the dry storage facility was first proposed there, and then it was withdrawn in lieu of an expanded project that included the superyacht facility. So at that point, in that it says, quote, the proposed development contributes to, promotes, encourages the improvement of the East Beach Harbor District, that the proposed development will not have an undue negative impact on economic viability of the district, that the proposed development area preserves and promotes health, safety, and general welfare of the public. In short, another public-private benefits analysis, which the city itself performed, not me, when they granted planning commission and zoning approval for the by-right use which they put in place for this property, which this developer met. So, I'm going to ask you, I very much appreciate the staff's assessment and their suggested recommendation that this matter be remanded. I'm going to ask you to consider seriously reversing the decision of the Norfolk Wetland Board. Unfortunately, if you remand the matter, it's just going to perpetuate this controversy, and I guarantee you it means I'm back here in a couple more months. A reversal only affirms the decision that this commission made on the same impacts, the same 3,720 square feet of wetland that you all made in January, on January 22nd, 2008. So I would suggest to you that based on the record, the history, go back to the ordinance from the city of Norfolk, go back to the purchase and sale of the site, the multiple approvals of the same wetland impacts, the absence of any change to the wetland impacts, none whatsoever, haven't changed once, not one soul. And the sole catalyst, really, for us being here today, the actions of the Norfolk City Fire Inspector acting on behalf of the same city to, in his words, protect public safety, warrants a reversal of this decision. Unfortunately, the U-turn by the Norfolk Wetlands Board with no basis, or at best a specious basis, at the 11th hour, at the behest of disagreeing neighbors and the self-admitted error of the Planning Commission, has no basis in local wetland ordinance, in the state law, or any of the applicable regulations which we've reviewed here today. So I'm going to stop there, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to answer questions if I can. Mr. Buddy Gaddams and Mr. John Biagas are here. They both appeared at the Norfolk Wetland Board hearing, and they've been admonished about repeating what they said there in order to keep the record straight. So with that, I'm glad to try to answer any questions that you or other members of the commission may have.
Any questions for Mr. Daniel?
Seeing none. John, do you have anyone that you want to speak in support of the project? Do you want to make any arguments to open the record to correct it or to meet the ends of justice?
Wow. Never been asked if I wanted to fix the ends of justice. I don't. I've tried to stay within the bounds of the record. I think I have done that. I've tried to argue what was before you in the previous administrative hearings and actions of the city of Norfolk. I don't have anybody else. I don't think they need to see. They're not jumping up and down.
Okay.
And so I would hope that we could stay to the record, hear from the city of Norfolk, and I would ask for a few minutes of rebuttal following the presentation by the city of Norfolk.
You will get the rebuttal time. Yes.
Thank you.
Just one question.
Sure.
The change in zoning, that was not pushed by your client?
Not to my knowledge. If he's back there, he can nod.
So the length of time that this whole thing has occurred over is not of the owner's own doing?
No. You know, 2004, the change from the Botel dry storage to the development project, apartment, super yacht, was a change in the zoning. I don't know who initiated that. I know that that was a two-year process, so it went from 2004 to, like, 2006. I think it was finally approved in 2008, and I think we all had planned on doing things after 2008 that we didn't get to do, but, you know, my super yacht, for instance.
Right.
Thank you. I have one question, Mr. Daniels. When we speak of a, because this is new to me, super yacht facility, what
you know,
is there a haul out? What is a super yacht facility? I mean, we saw that over and over.
I didn't go to Webster's on it, but I mean, the what's in the record and what's in the history of talking about super yacht and where it came from, it's like 120 feet plus. There's probably room at this pier, the perpendicular pier, for two. The purpose of the super yacht facility is, frankly, jurisdictional competition. And, you know, there's no other place. I'll look at Mr. Sessions. He can't accommodate one down there, Rudy. So, you know, it was an opportunity Norfolk saw to attract snowbirders, I guess, who wanted to lay over for a while on their, you know, who weren't affected by 2008.
So follow-up. It's just a mooring facility.
It's all it is. It's a temporary layover.
There's no haul-out.
No.
I didn't see any of that depicted in the drawing.
Okay. You know, there's crew quarters, there's some navigation, go in, plot your course, you know. Work.
Refueling.
Yeah, I guess there's refueling. It's not at this dock, but.
I'll expand on that a little bit if you want me to. At Rudy, we have an impediment. They have a bridge that we can't bring the big boats under. And then at Little Creek, they don't. And there are a lot of snowbirds that go up and down there looking for berthing facilities for boats too big for our basin.
And our facility at Colonial Beach has a 150-foot mooring, and it's the only place that a super yacht can pull into as long as it's under 9 feet draft until you get to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So there is very limited super yacht facilities, you know, in the Chesapeake Bay region because of draft, because of other issues like bridges and whatnot. Right.
Any other questions, Mr. Palmer?
I have a question for staff.
All right.
If I might. Oh, don't look at me like that. The question is this. The Seabell site used to be uplands and was excavated to put the Seabell in there. Is that correct? If it had not been excavated, would it be considered wetlands?
Well, if it had not been excavated, it would all be uplands.
That's correct. It would not be wetlands. So these are actually wetlands that were the ones in question, ones that were artificially created. That's why I wanted to know. Thank
exactly,
you very much.
Because
it wouldn't have that designation. That's why I just wanted to make sure about.
Anything further? Thank you, Mr. Daniels.
Thank you for your attention.
Now we'll hear from the city.
Commissioners, thank you. Adam Melita, Deputy City Attorney. I'm signed up as counsel for the Wetlands Board. At this point, however, given some of the aspects that were included in Mr. Daniels' presentation, I would ask the Commission if it would consider a motion to allow me to speak to a few factual issues that I have personal knowledge of because I also serve as counsel for the Planning Commission and was present during the zoning reviews for the zoning approval that you have the documentation of as well. There were some assumptions made about who was present at the zoning approval and why the zoning changes were done, and having been present for those meetings, I can provide some information about that to make sure this record is not corrupted with some assumptions that just aren't borne
out by the evidence. This is information that is not currently on the record.
It would be information not currently on the record because it is information responsive to some of the presumptions that were presented in Mr. Daniels' presentation and that, quite frankly, were not accurate and that we do have personal knowledge of. But it mainly bears on the zoning.
You make any comments?
Well, I mean, I'll just discuss with you a little bit. I mean, that's the Commission's pleasure. I think that's one of
the records for the
right. Okay. Yeah. And the other thing is, I would suggest to the Commission that they allow Mr. Daniel to cross-examine him if he so desires.
Okay.
Because it's new evidence on the record, you should be able to.
Yeah, I should put that on the record.
Okay. After discussing this with the Commissioner, what Council is going to advise the Commission on is that it take a vote to see if it wants to open up the record for this particular issue only, and if it is decided that it's opened up, that Mr. Daniel be allowed to have the opportunity to cross-examine and develop the record on this new evidence.
So that matter is before the Commission. Do you have any questions, Mr. Fox?
Yes. If we open the record, are we opening it only for this one item?
Yes.
We're not opening it broadly.
It's up to you. Your motion can be as specific as you want it to be.
Okay.
We would turn on the motion. And I believe Mr. Daniel has some.
I wouldn't have an objection to Mr. Melita clarifying something I said. I hope I didn't corrupt anything. But as long as it has to do with wetlands and the wetland permit, or the 3,720 square feet of wetlands, I'm okay if you want to open the record for that limited purpose, but I think it has to be tied to the wetlands issue.
You want to clarify again what you want to bring to us?
What I have knowledge of is information about the proceedings that were done before the Planning Commission, there was a representation made, for example, during the applicant's presentation that I assume that the fire marshal was present at the Planning Commission and made the request for the fire lane. So I have.
You have information related to that. All right.
If that's pertinent.
Okay. So, what's the pleasure of the commission on this? Do you want to open the record specific to this issue?
I would move that we open up specific to the issue that he has just mentioned, because I think it's relevant to the water dependency that we've talked about.
But solely to that.
Solely to that point.
Second the motion by Mr. Fox. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. You may proceed.
And, Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate that I be sworn then to the course of my comments?
You're an attorney, right?
I am.
That's your problem. Since you're testifying as a witness, I will swear you in. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Did you get his name, Kathy?
Adam Malika.
Correct.
Yes.
And most of my comments are in clarification of what was presented, and I will flag for the commission the portion of my presentation that was the testimonial. The first thing I'd like to do is to take just a few moments in reference to the record to correct a misrepresentation that I heard made three times. Once during Ms. Woodward's presentation, once in response to a question from Mr. Schick, and again during Mr. Daniel's presentation. The chronology of the permit and the letter from the Wayne Wallace fire inspector. Clarified. The first event in time that's relevant to this question is the 2007 permit for the original proposal. That's the permit that the Wetlands Board approved, that was approved by this commission and was upheld in 2008. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that approval, a new site plan was developed by East Beach, by the East Beach developers, and that appears in the record at page 5G, Roman numeral 15-10. Very close to the end of the packet, it's included with some xeroxes of elevations of the apartment complex, but it's 15-10.
All right, can you just hold up a second? Let's make sure everybody gets on the same page. 5G, Roman numeral 15-10. Yeah.
Okay.
And so what you have here is, it's very small, but it is, does say in the corner, this is dated June 2, 2008. So what you have here is, after the first proposal, a new site plan is developed. You'll see the parking garage facility is slightly canted, slightly angled. And you see along the eastern side of the property, you see what's been referred to as the fire lane. I think really the north portion of it is the access lane to the parking garage, and then the southern portion is the portion that's been identified as the fire lane. So in June of 2008, this concept was developed by the proposed developers. Turning back probably just about 10 pages in your packet at document 5G, Roman numeral 15-1. Is the letter confirming the zoning approval for East Beach LLC. That's dated December of 2009. So about a year and a half after this new site plan was developed showing the new fire lane, about a year and a half later, the zoning approval for this particular project with this particular site plan was approved by the Planning Commission. This is the portion of my comments that are testimonial. Having been present at that Planning Commission meeting, there was no representative from the city fire marshal's office or anyone from the city requesting anything along the lines of a fire lane. That's an aspect or a feature of the project that had been put in place a year and a half earlier as part of the original development. I was specifically involved with the drafting of this letter. Incidentally, the language that appears as a condition of its approval was drafted with the advice of counsel, and as I indicated earlier, as counsel for the Planning Commission, I assisted the commission in developing that language, and the zoning approval was granted at the end of 2009. So continuing with the chronology, what you then have happening next is the new application for the modified permit. You recall East Beach had an approval from the Wetlands Board in 2007 that was affirmed or challenged and affirmed by this commission in 2008. But then they got a zoning approval to do a slightly different project showing the fire lane. The fire lane doesn't appear in the 2007 Wetlands permit. And so they come up with a new plan, they get a zoning approval for that. And so now they have a zoning approval for one thing and a wetlands approval for something different, and the two don't match. And so something needs to be done in order to make sure the development can go forward. And so there's a request to modify the wetlands permit that comes up after the zoning approval has been granted. And so during 2011, you see the document that's been previously identified with the fire marshal's signature. It's that document 5D, Roman numeral 4. Dated September 13th, 2011. So that letter is dated almost 2 years after the zoning approval, almost 3.5 years after that site plan was developed with a fire lane in it. I cannot tell you, and I am not testifying here, as to who drafted this letter. I don't believe there's any dispute that Mr. Wallace, the fire inspector, did sign the document. I will tell you that the information provided to me by staff.
Excuse me, counsel.
Yes.
Just as an abundance of clarity for the record, I would ask for my commission that you bookmark when you're finished with your testimony and just stick to your testimony then so we know in the record instead of weaving in and out.
Understood. And that closes the additional testimony I have with regards to the planning.
Mr. Shank.
Do you have knowledge that the fire marshal did not ask at any time the applicant to widen this fire lane?
I don't have that knowledge.
Okay. So you don't know whether the fire marshal had asked or not had asked in 2009, when that the drawing that you talked about was done.
That's correct.
You don't know what transpired. Okay.
That's correct. I will tell you that the site plan approval process for the city of Norfolk does not review by different agencies. Typically, does not commence until the zoning approvals and the wetland approvals are done. But I don't know at what point Mr. Wallace would have made the request for this particular one.
Thank you.
The second item I'd like to clarify for the commission is with respect to the representation that the reason for the new proposal in 2007 was because of the rezoning. It isn't true that when the zoning was replaced that the 2004 approval for the marina was no longer valid. That would have been a vested approved use that had the required permits, and that use is not prohibited under the current zoning. The fact of the matter is when this property was rezoned, there were many more uses, including all of the residential uses that were now available. And so the apartment project was brought to the city by the applicant, not at the request or as a result of the zoning change. Thirdly, I'd like to clarify that the request for the modification of the 2007 permit, the 2007 permit that was affirmed by this commission in 2008, the request for modification was not initiated by the City of Norfolk or the Norfolk Wetlands Board. As I indicated when I was reiterating the chronology, in the meantime, after the 2007 permit, the applicant had gotten a zoning approval for a slightly different design. And so it was the applicant's request to come back with modification to do the new design and to get a wetlands permit that matched the zoning permit he had gotten in December of 2009.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Turning to that. Were you part of the decision that occurred to not administratively approve the change in design and causing a full wetlands board hearing on it?
I can tell you that I am not aware of an of a means to administratively approve the changed permit. I provided legal counsel to the planning director as he was trying to resolve the issue of having a zoning approval for one design and a wetlands approval from 2007 for a different design, but I'm not going to get into the nature of my advice on that.
Okay.
I don't have any further clarifications for the board, for the commission, so unless there are other questions for me, that concludes my comments.
Any further questions? Seeing none?
Thank you.
Takes care of that. Now, I guess the question is, does the city have any further reason to open the record for the purposes of correcting it, or as the code says, to meet the ends of justice? Are you an attorney?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me swear you in. You solemnly swear the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So off you go.
I do.
Proceed.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Can you introduce yourself again? I'm
Kevin Dubois, Mr. Fox.
Okay.
With the commission's approval, I'd like to answer a question Mr. Fox asked about the genesis of the document you have before you with the fire marshal's signature.
Does that constitute opening the record to new information, in your opinion?
Yes, sir, it does.
It does.
Yes, sir.
We'll take a vote of the commission.
All right. What's the pleasure of the commission on that testimony?
Unless, sir, you can point to something in the record that makes the point that you want to make.
Other than, again, to correct information, Mr. Daniels made a presumption about how that document came to be. And again, to answer Mr. Fox's question about...
I'll move that we accept this one piece of information.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second
by Mr. Tankard. Mr. Daniel, you want to speak to that?
Briefly. If we're going to hear that the fire marshal didn't write the letter, I think that's obviously information you ought to have. And if we're going to hear that it, you know, they ran out of blue paper or something, I don't think that's that important. So if it's, you know, if there's information that where I'm wrong or what I understood to be the case is wrong and the fire marshal didn't provide that information with respect to his role in the super yacht facility, you know, I have no objection to opening the record for that.
Yeah. I would like to only hear testimony that it directly conflicts anything or contradicts anything that, that the applicant's attorney has stated concerning this letter.
And that was your intent. Is that,
yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. On the motion, any other further comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Again, to address your question, Mr. Fox, and relating specifically to what Mr. Daniel said, the statement before you was prepared by the applicant, and Mr. Wallace, the fire marshal, was asked to sign it after a brief read. He did not prepare that statement. That's why it's not on city letterhead.
But he, in signing it, well...
Mr. Fox?
I guess I have to stop right there, yeah.
Mr. Palmer?
I want to know for a fact. Wayne Wallace is a fire inspector, correct?
That's correct.
That's all I need to know.
And he did sign this letter?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Say that one more time. Excuse me. Who drafted this letter?
The applicant did.
Okay.
They prepared the statement and asked him to sign
it.
All right. May I just...
Yes, counsel.
Are you aware of any information that would tend to indicate in any fashion that this is a fabrication or not true, the contents of the letter?
All I can say to that fact is that Mr. Wallace admitted he signed the statement. He didn't prepare the statement.
I understand, but I'm asking you a specific question, and I'm not trying to argue or quibble with you. I just want to be clear for the record here is, do you have any information at all that indicates that this, the contents of this letter that Mr. Wallace signed, are false?
I'm not sure I understand.
What
does it mean?
The contents, what the letter says that he signed. Is anything in it false based on the knowledge that you have?
Mr. Wallace looked at the language, said he couldn't remember if that was the specific language, but did not dispute the fact that he signed that.
Did he dispute the fact that he made the request?
Well, you know, this would be real easy if the fire inspector hadn't requested an additional fire lane, you know, because we're back to what's already been approved. I mean, you know, if some, I think I said in response to Mr. Fox, just to get this straight, because I'm here a lot and I don't want to get crossways with anybody here, I said I didn't know who wrote the letter. I said I didn't write it. The applicant itself could have written it. So the elaboration here that the applicant wrote it really is nothing new, and I don't think we've heard anything as to the veracity of the letter or the fact that Chief Wallace signed it. And unless somebody can tell us that Chief Wallace had a gun to his head and he didn't want to sign it or something to that fact, I think we have to take it for what it says on its face.
Mr. Tanker.
So I understand here, this letter is dated September 13th, 2011. The Planning Commission met on December 10th, 2009, and they approved. Mr. Daniel stated that, and I might be not correct on this, so I want to make sure, that he was there at the Planning Commission and requested it at that time. Why are we seeing a 2011 date here? I'm just confused.
I can't answer that, Mr. Tanker, but I can tell you that there was a lot of discussion about the revised plans and what was water dependent and what was not. And I was asked specifically by the applicant, would it make a difference if I could provide evidence that said that a fire lane was water dependent? I was asked that specific question. And that information, that admission by the fire marshal was never part of the record until 2012. Not during the first hearing. It was produced in the April hearing.
This letter clearly states that, you know, even though it was signed in 2011, this is referring to something that had happened previous. The letter doesn't say the date, but I don't see, you know, this letter is not saying that this was asked on September 13th of 2011. It clearly says shown on the plans prepared. So this obviously is referring to the 2009 issue. I'd like to move on. I think this issue's been, you know, discussed.
My question has been answered.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure we're all straight. So.
Right.
Okay. You don't have anything else?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, we've heard from the appellants and the appellee. John, you get an opportunity to rebut anything you wish.
This is the end.
of this hearing, sir.
I just wanted to request an opportunity on behalf of BC Beach Homeowners Association to see if the commission will consider that, and I'll be brief.
Is this on the on information on the record?
It's on the record.
And already contained in?
And it's already contained in the record that we have before us.
I wanted to address the legal standard of review primarily.
What's the pleasure of the commission on this?
I'd like to tie that standard and application to the facts that are in the record upon the facts for the law.
May I? Are you a licensed attorney in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Only for the last 37 years.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
That's not enough, right.
I just wanted to make sure you were licensed to practice law before you came before the commission and started making legal arguments, sir. That's all.
And I apologize if I offended.
You're asking to present additional testimony that is based on the existing record.
Well, it's not testimony. It's counsel or representation and arguments. So
it would be just arguments, sir. Okay. He's just another bite at the apple from another angle.
Any objection to hearing this, gentlemen? All right. We'll hear from you.
Let me make sure I understand what we're doing here. I mean, Mr. Easton just made these arguments, and he's right. He made them at the Wetlands Board. And what I want to make sure, by opening the record to do this, in the event that further appeals on this matter, are we including other parties that aren't privy to this hearing? The only parties to this hearing, as I understand it, are the appellant and the city of Norfolk. Freeholders had a way to get into this hearing with a petition of 25 plus and didn't do it. But of course, they would have been appealing their own victory. So I just want to make sure that if there are further appeals, we're not, Paul, and I guess Mr. Kugelman, we're not changing the status of potential standing of anybody in any future appeal by opening the record for this purpose. That's my question.
You know, if I may, Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
I had not prepared for additional legal argument with reviewing 28.2-1312, which addresses the procedure for review. And let me just read this carefully again to make sure I'm not misquoting the law. .1312 states in subparagraph B, which is a pertinent subparagraph here, the commission shall hear the appeal or conduct a review of the record transmitted by the board to the commissioner. The commission may take additional evidence as may be necessary to resolve any controversy to the correctness of the record. The commission, in its discretion, may also receive such other evidence as the ends of justice require. Counsel has already advised the commission that he's not providing any additional evidence. So I think that to allow him to argue on behalf of anybody would be going outside of the permissible scope of review for this commission of a Wetlands Board decision.
I would agree with you. I think we don't hear.
Really, for the proper of the record, I would note that an invitation to speak in furtherance of the application is afforded to Mr. Daniels, but I respect your opinion.
Thank you. Mr. Daniel, we're back to you for rebuttal.
Well, that was why I asked whether we were done. I think we are done. There were a couple of Mr. Melita with the city sort of helped in that he got the chronology straight with respect to various and sundry elements. He was there. As I told you, I was not there, and whatever he says transpired. What I haven't heard is any advocacy with respect to the ecological significance of these 3,720 square feet of wetlands. I haven't heard any argument that the criteria, as I suggested to them, to you, had been met. We haven't heard anything otherwise with respect to the multiple approvals for impacts to these wetlands. So again, I would simply renew my request to the commission that you seriously consider reversing this matter. We're going to be on a merry-go-round. Somebody has to make the music stop. At this point, where it goes from there, you know, there are options and alternatives. But there are certain pressing needs that a final decision from this commission be made, and I would ask you to follow the part of Ms. Woodward's report after however comma, and consider reversal of the decision. And I'm sorry we've taken so much of your time, but it is a very important matter, and I appreciate your time and, as always, your attention to these matters. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Matter is before the commission. You have a question?
No.
Comment. Mr. Shake?
Yeah. In 2008, we've heard about this. We supported the decision of the Wetlands Board at that point in time. I don't see any negative factors that would change our opinion that we thought last time. These wetlands were deeded to the applicant. The city at that time said that they had a no value. We've said that the value of them were diminished, that they were deemed to be non-functional. They are a man-made wetland area. I maintain that they might not even have needed to mitigate at all, but they are mitigating. They are bringing back more functional wetlands that were there before, done a tremendous service to the community by cleaning up that area, and they have every right to develop to the highest and best use of the zoning regulations, which was put upon them not at their request. So even though that they could still go with the lesser development, they have every right to go to the highest and best use. This is a needed facility in the region, the super yacht facility, and I see no reason that I still don't understand the reasoning of the Wetlands Board in their decision. I truly think that the record as a whole is inconsistent with this. With this previous thinking, and I do move to overturn the Wetlands Board hearing decision and determine, that instead of remand, that we should overturn it. That,
motion
is,
to,
that is a motion.
There is a motion to overturn. Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mr. Palmer. Comments on the motion? Mr. Tanker.
I have some comments. I've read through, as I mentioned, the transcripts of both meetings, and what you see there is an argument made by Mr. Eason, who seemed to make some pretty logical arguments for why this particular development had some questions with regard to water dependency, and also he had some questions, I think, which you've seen have been problematic in testimony here today about the timeline and how some decisions were made. And I think there are some other questions, again, on the wetlands and what they mean to Norfolk. So I think the commission really didn't perhaps back up on a decision that it made. I think it began to, yes, question what it did. And the second time around, where the applicant chose to create a new plan in 2008 and got planning commission approval, which in 2009, which seemed to not depict everything was happening at the project. I think we can say that. I think there is some reason for them to begin to question. I'm sorry that their deliberations are so meager but I can see where they could have gotten pretty tired out, actually, after two meetings on this. So I would have a tendency to go with the staff's recommendation of remanding this to them. It's their city. I think they know best at the local level what to do here, and I think there's, given the testimony that you see in both of these proceedings, there seems to be a lot more going on than we're going to be able to sort out here today. So I wouldn't want to remand the decision. Overturn the deliberations of a body that's been done a very good job over time. I mean, Norfolk Wetlands Board has a history of doing things well, and I think if they're questioning themselves, it's a citizen commission. They have every right to question themselves and question decision. I think you can look back and take another look at a project, particularly if the applicant gives you the chance.
Mr. Fox.
I agree with Ed. That I would suggest we remand. And I guess this is, I will agree with Ed also that there was a fairly meager discussion. It was not a total absence of discussion, but it was quite meager. And if the Wetlands Board made a major decision and turned around in their decision from what they'd done in the previous meeting, I'd like to see more definition of their thinking. So I would be inclined, as Ed said, to turn it back to the city of Norfolk and let them have another shot at it, realizing, as Mr. Daniel says, that we may get this back again, but that's okay. That's the way the system works.
Any further comments on the motion, Mr. Tank? Mr. Sessions, I'm sorry.
I can imagine how frustrated the developer is going back and forth and back and forth and so on and so forth, and I understand what Mr. Tankard is saying. If, in fact, it does go back to Norfolk and is remanded, is there a provision for the applicant to come back sooner rather than later? I know in dealing with certain guys, I'm not sure with this board, is there a provision where he can come back quickly if Norfolk maintains his position, so he's not held up like was said for months or a long period of time?
Commissioner, didn't mean to speak over you. Mr. Watkinson, you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will. Sorry, it's one of those interesting relationships. He's been doing this way longer than I have, but I have the license. My understanding of what would happen is, if it's remanded, is they would go back, and I suspect they would revet the application permit, make a decision, and then they could appeal and come back here if they were unhappy with the Wetlands Board decision.
That's kind of where I'm going, but is there any way to expedite that if they're unhappy with it coming back here? Because as pointed out, they are on, to me, it appears as though it's a merry-go-round, whether, for whatever the reason.
I'm not aware of any provisions to expedite the appeal, and I don't believe it really is that long. I believe as soon as the decision's rendered, they could appeal it and bring it back up here in a matter of 2 months.
Yeah, I think I basically concur with sort of your comments there and characterization of the process, and I'll just elaborate on it a little bit. If this were to be remanded back to the board for a rehearing, I think they would have to go through basically the same public interest review process they have gone through in the past, advertise it, hold a public hearing, and then make a decision. And then that decision would be appealable just like the last decision was, or decision before that, either by the applicant, depending on the decision, or the freeholders, depending on a decision, or taken on behalf of the commissioner, because we didn't think the project complied with any compliance with the Wetlands Act or the guidelines. So, and then that, the code specifies that we have to rehear that within 45 days. So, generally speaking, the code directs the board to consider an application within 60 days of getting a complete application.
And then after that decision is made, we're directed to hear it within 45 days. So that gives you some parameter of what the time frame might be based on when they could get it back before the Wetland Board if it is remanded.
Mr. Schick?
Yeah, I just have a hard... We're asking, you know, whether it's a developer or individual, it doesn't matter. This is not of their own doing. Whether, you know, the letter was written by the applicant and signed by the fire marshal, it's evident that the fire lane was put in at the request of somebody other than the applicant. And this letter said it was the fire marshal. They have an approved situation that prior to that. For one hand of the government to say they want something, for the other hand of the government to take it all away because of the other hand of the government, it's just not right. I have the most respect for planning commissions and wetlands boards, and I served 15 years in Colonial Beach for Board of Zoning Appeals and the Planning Commission myself. And I understand, you know, what they go through, my hat goes off to them. And this particular board has been very good in their decisions, and I applaud them. I think in this particular situation, the decision was made in not taking into account that this fire lane is a water-dependent use, and it's clear that the evidence does not support the decision that was made by the Wetlands Board. And I still maintain that I think that we need to just go ahead and dispense with this and go on forward. And this upholds our own decisions that we've made in the past. This is not a new decision for us. So.
Mr. Palmer.
I took the opportunity to go to this property and walk. And I looked at the Seabell site. And that's why I asked staff, would it be wetlands if it wasn't just a hole that was dug in the ground allowing access to the bay? And unless wetlands constitute old tires and silt, which is what this is, it's not really what I would consider wetlands because it didn't exist prior to the Seabell being there. And that's why I feel that we should finish this now and be done with it.
Any further comments? Ready to vote? All those in
favor? Interrupt at this stage, but I do want to clarify one thing based on the motion to return the board. And I would ask that did the maker of the motion intend it to include the rest of that suggestion and that recommendation that it be but the board be directed to issue their permit with the conditions that were articulated in the meeting when this was denied? I mean, the rest of our sentence there goes on to say that that the board be directed to issue the permit, and that includes the list of conditions that were read into the board record at the time it was debated.
Mr. Watkinson is referring to the last sentence.
Yes, and these conditions were already agreed upon by the applicant.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So the motion is to overturn and to direct the board.
Yes.
To approve the modifications request to the existing wetlands permit and to include the proposed permit conditions considered during the board hearing. Correct?
Yes.
All right. We're ready to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let's see a show of hands. Those in favor, raise your right hand. We have three ayes, opposed, like sign, two noes, motion carries, 3-2, and the decision is overturned. Thank you. Whoa.